You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all the Major League Baseball. And I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, we have Javi Reyes is back from Locked On Padres, and we're going to be talking about the Friars in what I think should be a pretty fun season in the only baseball market that's only baseball. This episode is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and everywhere where you get podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Padres, where you can hear my guest, Javi Reyes. Hey, he was on earlier in the week. I got him a hotel. Say, hey, stick around the luxurious Locked On MLB studios here in luscious, expensive Palo Alto, California, the birthplace of Oakland A's manager Bob Melvin and Jock Peterson, who I have no clue what team Jock Peterson plays for. All I know, it's a team that claims Los Angeles. It's either the Dodgers or the Angels. I don't know. Maybe he's back to Palo Alto High School. I don't know the answer to that. Neither do you. Neither does Javi Reyes. How you doing?
What's up, Ben?
I'm good. I'm good, man.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, I originally wanted to just have you on of talk Padres, but there was such a weird day the other day when they were the whole playoff expansion. It was like it just turned into that. So I said, "Oh gosh, we should probably talk about the Padres a little bit too."
Yeah, we went on a bunch of rants basically.
It was great. So it's like, "Oh boy, I guess we're doing another episode where we actually talk about the Padres."
But let's
talked a little bit about your Padre fandom. We got that out of the way. Listen to the episode on February 11th to find out what that's about. But let's talk about the 2020 San Diego Padres, which let's be honest, they're kind of an interesting team. And from my point of view, let me tell you my point of view, and then you tell me where I'm wrong. Obviously, the trade of Starling Marte gives them an interesting depth to their outfield. They have already, if you are assuming that Fernando Tatis Jr., who is going to be 21 this year, 20? He's going to be young. You know you have Machado. You know you have Hosmer. You have a bunch of pitchers on their team who are young with talent, especially Paddock and especially Cal Quantrill. This could be the exact kind of team that takes advantage of a team is expected to be good that slumps. And it is not out of the realm of possibility that even though, yes, the Padres last year had a 70-92 season that cost Andy Green his job, and someone with a name that sounds like a dirty toy is now the manager of the San Diego Padres. They have a new look. They've made some good moves. They brought back the brown and yellow uniforms.
Yes, that might be the biggest –
that could be it. It's like the minute the Orioles brought back the smiling bird, things start turning around. So you tell me, you're the Padres guy, you tell me your thoughts on this season and how they've handled this offseason.
So first of all, seriously, I cannot emphasize enough. I am a big believer in random mythical things when it comes to sports. Like, I believe in that stuff. And the uniforms, oh my gosh. It got me excited. And this is the team that I grew up around, and I was just super jazzed to see those colors back. I blacked out when you said this. You said Starling Marte. I think you meant Tommy Pham for the outfield they traded for.
You're right. I'm sorry. I think I had a stroke. Starling Marte went to the Diamondback. I'm sorry. I got the potentially surprising teams in the NL West confused in my head. That's right. I meant to say Tommy Pham, and it came out Starling Marte. All right. Sorry about that.
Starling Marte is a great name, and middle name Javier Marte. Actually,
I know. I you know what? I blew it. I meant to say Tommy. I meant to say Tommy Pham.
But just in general, this I don't want to say it like this isn't usually how you start off why your team should be good, but the Padres, I just don't think they could be worse than what they were last year. Like, it would have to be – there was that one national season. It was the year that Bryce Harper won the MVP. I think it was 2013, where Harper finally, you know, had his breakout, and then literally every other player on that team, with the exception of maybe Scherzer, just had a super down year. Ian Desmond, maybe Adam Eaton was on the team. Denard Span, I think, was on the team, and all these guys that – were just really off. Ryan Zimmerman was super hurt. I think everything, in a sense, that had every player on the team last year, like from opening day, who everyone just kind of underperformed. You know what I mean? And that, like, and they needed so many players, in my opinion, to underperform in order to achieve the record that they had. And if you just kind of follow the rule of the regression to mean, basically, the Padres are going to be better this year, and they made a lot of moves. So they have Tommy Pham on the team, who is – what's hilarious about Tommy Pham is he was, like, the big offensive guy on the Rays, even though he's not, like, this juggernaut, even though he was their best player on offense. You look at his numbers, super solid player, and which is honestly good kudos to the Rays for the fact that they didn't have, like, an incredible – you know, roster of offensive players, but they still managed to be one of the best teams in baseball last year. But thank you for Tommy Pham, by the way. And then they make small moves. And I talked about this on the podcast this week. And they signed Drew Pomeranz, which is a name that doesn't instill a lot of excitement in a lot of people. He kind of got lit up a lot, especially in Boston. But people forget he transitioned to the bullpen late last season, and he was awesome. Like,
oh, he was with Milwaukee. He was really effective.
Oh man, he was super effective and like really in the upper tiers of relievers. So, and that's awesome. Like, honestly, I always love when I see just athletes in general find their role. You know, in baseball, in this case, when starting pitchers go to relievers, but they really like they find themselves. Hey, if it works, it works. And you know, you add that in the signing, and then they just traded for Emilio Pagan the other day, who was another guy from Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has just been our team this offseason. So shout out to them, man. I got to go on the Locked On Rays podcast to talk about that. And they get Pagan. They already have Kirby Yates, who, you know, bias. I know, I get it. I think next to Josh Hader is the best reliever in baseball. He was awesome last year. An ERA of like 1.14. He was incredible. And, you know, Tatis Jr. You might have heard of him before. He only played half the season, and he was already amazing. Only played half the season. You're getting a full season out of him. Machado, even when his offense kind of, you know, took a step back last year, still hit over 30 homers. I still think he could definitely, you know, return to his form from last year offensively when he was with Baltimore. Even if he doesn't, his defense is so good that he's still going to be an above average player.
Yeah, by the way, I'm all in on Machado, and I'm not – and this is coming from someone who's a lifelong Red Sox fan who I'm supposed to hate him. I think he's great. And I think that I think that was a smart pickup. And I think that he's going to be happy because he doesn't have the pressure of playing if he was like a Northeastern team or plays all on. There's no downside to him playing in San Diego.
Absolutely.
And I think that he is great. So talk to me a little bit about the pitching staff. You know, Lucchesi, Quantrill, Paddock, they have players. And if you've been listening to the podcast through the last year, you know that I had these visions for each game that the Lucchesi or Lauer, whoever was pitching, was going to throw the first no-hitter in the history of the San Diego Padres. And the visions just – I thought they were clear because it came – like I would wake up in the middle of the night going like, Paddock is going to throw it today. And then I made my prediction. And while none of them came true, I stand by all my predictions. And I believe that this year, who do you think the opening day starter is going to be? Paddock.
I mean, it's got to be Paddock. It's got to
I predict that this year on opening day, Chris Paddock will throw the first no-hitter in the history of the San Diego Padres. You heard it here first.
Ooh, sir, sir.
Opening day no-hitter, Paddock.
You know I like those.
Out of the way.
That'd be incredible. And Paddock, what's great about Paddock is he's one of those guys that no one's really talking about because, granted, he's playing for the Padres. One of the more underrated, like, breakout pitchers last year.
Yep.
Just in general.
Yeah.
He was awesome. But I have a name for you. And look, here comes the Padres fandom. Here it comes.
Fine.
Garrett Richards. And yeah. Garrett Richards is on the pitching staff, right? He's 32 years old. He's had a lot of trouble staying healthy. But I think there's potential here. He's been really good before. And I'm looking at the numbers right now.
With the
His
Angels.
2017 yeah. season,
yeah.
he started off on fire. Obviously didn't play as many games, but he's had a couple years, man. That year in 2014 I'm looking at, 2.6 ERA. He was a good strikeout pitcher too at points. I just think that if he can put it together, for that to be like your fifth guy or fourth or fifth guy, I think that's like it bodes well. Obviously he's not our number one. If he was our number one, that's not
a great sign.
But there's potential there. You know what I mean?
I brought this up in the episode yesterday. When I had Agent from Lockdown Blue Jays, where I was talking about the importance of bringing in a pitcher like Hyunjin Ryu to the mm-hmm. Blue Jays, where you know whether or not you're getting a Cy Young season or not, you know you're handing the ball to a veteran pitcher who you don't have to worry about. And if Richards is healthy, the Padres know every 5 days a veteran pitcher is there who's been mm-hmm. there, who's done that, and some of the younger – it takes a little bit of the pressure off of some of the younger pitchers who are trying to make it to the next jump up mm-hmm. there. And you just hope that he could fill the role – and I'm a broken record, but the role that Charlie Liebrandt played for the Braves in the early 1990s when mm-hmm. they were filled with young pitchers like Steve Avery and John Smoltz and Tom Glavine who weren't yet proven.
Mm-hmm.
Liebrandt became that veteran starting pitcher who was like, hey, give me the ball. And I think that it helped – everyone fall into place, and that's what led, you know, I mean, if the Padres can go on a run like the Braves, you know, God bless them, but certainly could help a team with a tremendous number of young pitchers that mm-hmm. are exciting like they have in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. And this is are you ready for me to make my big stretch? This is a stretch, right?
Okay, well, do you what? Let's that's a great tease
save
right
it?
There.
You want to save
that's
it? There
a great tease there. Folks, hold on.
I got a big stretch. Big stretch coming.
We're gonna stretch. We promised you a big stretch. Javi Reyes from Locked On Padres is with me, your pal Sully, on Locked On MLB. Give me the big stretch.
Here's the big stretch, ladies and gentlemen. See, like I alluded to earlier, I believe in all the weird, you know, the sports karma related things. I believe in looking at things like uniforms. I think they have meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Lucchesi.
Yep.
Here's the thing. In the hit video game, MLB The Show.
Got it.
All right? I was simming my player. I was doing Road to the Show, which is one of the most addicting things, honestly, on the planet. Like, if all baseball fans, honestly, people who aren't baseball fans, I recommend checking it out. As long as you have time on your hands, by the way. Be careful, because it is the most addicting thing ever. And I was simming my player, and I ended up on the Dodgers, and the Dodgers ended up with Joey Lucchesi, which, okay, remember – This stuff is weird and players just end up on other teams, whatever.
Yeah.
And he was literally one of the five best players in baseball at that position. He was the ace of the Dodgers. It was incredible. And here's the thing. The last time I was playing a sports video game and a player that I wasn't super familiar with became an all-star, before they were an all-star, it was Lou Williams. And Lou Williams is one of the best scorers, just pure scorers in the NBA.
Okay.
So ladies and gentlemen, here's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say, don't rule out a little bit of a mini breakout season for Joey Lucchesi. I'm just saying MLB The Show predicted it. And what more hard empirical evidence could you need than that?
Well, here's the deal for me. I'm mm-hmm. not a big video game player. But I mm-hmm. will say, every year there's someone who you go, wait, what?
Yeah, absolutely.
And your method of predicting the rise of Joey Lucchesi is as valid as some of the other stuff I've heard in the past. So, you know, why not? I'll file that under why not.
Why not? I mean, that's the beauty of sports, man. Hey, remember Jacob deGrom coming up from the farm system?
Oh, yeah.
And then everyone was like, oh, yeah, he's good. Oh, he's really good. I mean, he's not going to replicate that next year, right? And then he did. And then he did again. And then he was Jacob DeGrom. And then look where we are now.
So Jose Bautista being kicked around by the
Pirates. Absolutely. JD Martinez is another one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a perfect one. JD Martinez
man.
Was cut.
And he was cut by Houston.
Houston, yes. And Houston. He was picked up by Detroit. And
oh, man. Revived his fantasy. Career. It was great.
And then I had that one. I'm sorry, I just hit my microphone. Just that one great half season with Arizona before helping the Red Sox win a World Series, basically replaced Big Poppy. Mm-hmm. And as one of the smartest hitters, he's going to be a great hitting coach someday.
Oh, I agree, yeah.
But,
that's a good call.
All right, well, let me tell you something. That's one reason I want to have you on, Javi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rethinking my own personal fandom.
Okay.
And I've talked about this before. And the Mookie Betts trade sent shivers down my spine. But I've also realized that I've climbed my entire life as a Red Sox fan, native New Englander, and, oh, will I ever see him win a World Series? Okay, now will I ever win him see another World Series? All right, will I ever see him win three World Series? Now there's a World Series that wouldn't even get a medal. Because we've run out of medals to give in terms of ranking them. And there seems like if they win more World Series, it's just adding to the pile. And while that would be wonderful, this part of me is like, I'm never going to live in Massachusetts again. Mm-hmm. And this ownership is getting me angry. And should I have a new mountain to climb? Should I stare at a new challenge? It's like I've climbed K2, Everest, the Eiger, the Matterhorn. I've been on top of all these mountains. And what new one can I climb that I could feel that sense of, my God, I'm watching a once-in-a-lifetime event that I have tethered emotion to? Like, and there have been a couple of teams that I have considered possibly giving my devotion to. Now, my second favorite team, my National League team, has been the Giants. Well, the Giants won three World Series recently.
Yeah, they were the every other year team.
So, as someone who never saw either one of those teams win, suddenly there was a period where it was the Giants won one year, then the Red Sox won another year, then the Giants won the next year. It was like every year it was like, yay. So, some of the teams that have gone through my mind, the one team that has never been in the World Series, the Seattle Mariners. I got my master's degree from Washington State. I have a great love for the Northwest. I'm here in Silicon Valley across the Bay. You have the A's who have just been brutal to their fans, just bringing them to the precipice all these years and thinking they're going to have the greatest feel-good story. Then, being Lucy taking the football away. And then there are the Padres.
Yes,
the Padres who have won one World Series game. The Padres who have Los Angeles to the north, the desert to the east, Mexico to the south, and the ocean to the west. Good luck building a great fan base that way. And they've never won. And they're San Diego, I call them Buffalo by the Sea, because the San Diego has so much angst sports-wise. And they've had two of their teams stolen from Los Angeles.
Yes, they have.
And the Padres have only won the World Series once, and it was a made-for-TV movie in 1979 starring Gary Coleman called The Kid from Left Field. And even that film stinks. So the Padres fans who've seen, like, oh, we had Ozzie Smith, we gave him away. We had Dave Winfield, bye-bye. We had Gary Sheffield, doodaloo. And the great careers of Tony Gwynn and Trevor Hoffman resulting in as many rings as me, then should I, your pal Sully,
say,
you know what? The horse that I'm going to tether myself to, should I pick up the brown and yellow and start to binge pitch and become a Padres fan? Should I do it?
You see, here's the thing. All right. When you talk about Hollywood endings, I honestly don't think that there are really any other teams in the league that are as big of an underdog as the Padres. And it's not only based on the roster, right? The roster is objectively, like, it's not awful, right? Yeah. It's just not. You have Manny Machado, like, by default, you have to be building towards something, you know?
Right.
The Marlins are the only other team that might be close to this. But otherwise –
But they have two World Series titles.
Exactly. So that's the thing. With the Padres, they only got one. And the other thing is they have four other teams in their state. All right? What more of an underdog are you than you have your four older brothers and sisters that everyone – that they like more than you, right? Mm-hmm. And you say, oh, the Oakland Athletics, they never have money in this stuff. Well, you know what? Everyone knows about that. They have a movie about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not cool necessarily to like the Athletics. It still is, honestly. I still got love for them, so I don't really mean that. But there's no other team. You can maybe argue I'm not even going to say the Mets because the Mets is New York. Yeah. You know what I mean? The Mets is – that's big town. That's big blockbuster stuff, even when they're terrible. I mean, just look at the Knicks. Look how much coverage that they get, right? Mm-hmm. I honestly think that Kansas City was another one, but they won a World Series, right? The Padres are that team that it's very difficult for me to envision any other weirder, out-of-nowhere underdog story than them. And I think that – and the other fun part about it is you don't have to start from nothing, like complete nothing. This isn't the Marlins. This isn't Baltimore. This isn't Detroit. You don't have to start with absolutely nothing. There is stuff to root for, you know? Even if they struggle every now and then, you know that, hey, it could happen this year. You know, hey, you never know. Stranger things have happened.
Here's another reason why, in many ways, the Padres title would be the most intense, at least for the fan bases who are – the fan base who is stuck with them. When you think about – you just mentioned the Marlins. Yes, the Marlins, they've won two World Series, but the fans couldn't even enjoy it because they dismantled the team so quickly. And yet, if you're in Miami and you're a basketball fan, the Heat has won several championships, both when Shaq was there and when LeBron was there, with Dwayne Wade being the connecting tissue between there. We mentioned the Seattle Mariners, the only franchise to never play in a World Series. But the Seattle Seahawks have won a Super Bowl recently. The A's have had all their frustration, but they share a, or at least until this season, they shared a Coliseum parking lot with the Warriors, who couldn't not win the NBA title. Cleveland, the Indians haven't won since black and white footage, but LeBron did deliver a title to the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's why I call them Buffalo by the Sea. That Buffalo and San Diego, that they kind of, I mean, you can't, every market you point to, you can say, well, but this team won, this, that team won. The Houston, you can point to saying there's an asterisk next to all their titles because you have banging the trash can in 2017 and the 2 years the Rockets won. I was like, well, yeah, but where was Jordan? Mm-hmm. You know, and so
exactly,
maybe there's that, but the Astros did it to themselves. Mm-hmm. But for the fans in San Diego, whose only title they had was an AFL title. Wasn't even a Super Bowl.
Oh, man, don't remind me.
It was like 6 or 7 years before the first Super Bowl that they won the AFL, and the AFL is considered a minor league compared to the NFL. Man. And that's it. Mm-hmm. That's all they're clinging to. In Buffalo, all they're clinging to is the Bills winning the AFL title in 1966. So, but Buffalo has the Sabres as well. It's the only market that is just baseball. Mm-hmm. And if they win, that is unquestionably going to be the moment for all San Diego fans and all Padre fans and anyone and who had the rug pulled out from them when the Chargers left.
Oh,
and
man.
The Padres win, it won't get the attention of the Red Sox or the Cubs. Hell, even the White Sox didn't get the attention of the Red Sox and Cubs. And there are people who always poo-poo the suffering of San Diego because it doesn't snow there, and people equate suffering with, you know, shoveling a driveway.
Yeah.
But I'm toying with the idea of buying myself an SD hat. I'm not going to lie to you.
Hey, man. Don't get any of those weird hats, though. Those weird hats that the
No. I'm talking about a real
– Yeah, real.
Brown and yellow hat. I'm not even talking about the hat that they wore in the 98 World Series that Brad Pitt wore in the film Spy Game. No, I'm talking, you know, the brown, yellow front of the crown with the SD on it. like the classic.
Absolutely.
Randy Jones, Gaylord Perry, late 70s, 84 World Series, classics.
It is a classic, that's right. And I think you really nailed it. People, like, when you talk about, like, suffering fan bases, people would bring up the Cubs, right? And not anymore, right, for example. You know, people talk about the Knicks. But some of those teams, people don't like to admit it. This is my big take right now, but it's kind of fun to at least know that everyone collectively just craps on your team and to, like, almost not revel in it, but it's almost cathartic in a way for Knicks fans to talk about how much they hate the Knicks, right?
As a Red Sox fan, I did that with the Red Sox. Yeah, but let me tell you, what's a lot better? Piling up World Series titles. That's a lot more
imagine.
Fun.
I can imagine. And then with the Chargers in San Diego, I mean, oh my gosh. I remember, like, I cried when I was younger after they lost to the Jets, which is honestly to this day, I still think my worst moment as a sports fan. Like, I really think that that's the worst one. I'm not even a big fan of Boston teams, you know, being in Newark. You know me, of course. Yeah. But I really, truly think that that was the most devastating sports moment of my life because everyone in my class, all those kids I couldn't stand, and even some that I could stand, and everyone being like, the Jets are going to win. Because that Rex Ryan mentality where they were like, we're better than literally everybody, even though the only reason he got into the playoffs is because Peyton Manning decided not to play. But whatever, I don't want to get into this now. It was devastating, right? And then for years, even when they were good, it was like, oh, but they'll blow it. And I'm like, no, 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 it's different this time. And then they blew it.
Yep.
I mean, SB Nation, for those who haven't checked this out, literally did a video. I think it was the 2012 Chargers. Don't quote me on that. It's around that time period. It's the only team to have a top offense and top defense in the league. Number one in both. And not make the playoffs. This is what San Diego fans deal with. And then they lose their team.
Yeah.
And the Padres, I think it was, oh man, now I'm really stretching. I think it was, I'm going to say 2009, 08, when they were one of the best teams in baseball and just had a historical slide at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And they were like a feel-good story, and it was really sad that they fell apart. San Diego fans deserve a little better. They really do. It's a nice city. Everyone that I talk to loves it. It's great. They need a little bit of love, and I think that the Padres are that team that no one's talking about that can deliver it.
Well, then let's deliver it, 2020. All right, I'm thinking about it. I'm not signing the papers yet. But I am going to bring in a Mariners representative and an A's representative. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got to make their pitch. It's like I'm a free agent right now.
Okay.
Everyone's expecting me to re-sign and be, you know, re-sign with the Red Sox. But I'm testing the market. I'm seeing what my market value is. And so right now you made the pitch to Padres fandom. So, all right. Hey, where can people listen to your podcast?
Hey, you can listen to it on every podcast service, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, the Megaphone, wherever. You know, if you want to follow the Twitter account, that's at @LO_Padres. Hit me up on there. Hit me up on my personal Twitter, which is at @Javipeno, which is spelled JAVIIPENO. Ask me questions, send me hate mail, say how much you like the show, whatever. I definitely love to hear your guys' comments, questions, whatever. I'm excited to be the new host of the Padres show. It's definitely an endeavor, and it's definitely an exciting endeavor. And I'm really grateful to be in this position. And I'm just ready to geek out about baseball, man. This is exciting stuff. I haven't been this excited for baseball season in a while.
Well, all right, well, you know, if you listen to this podcast, I get excited for every baseball season because that's how I am wired. Mm-hmm. So you can listen to the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. You can also listen to me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Player FM, Podbeam, all the places you get your podcasts. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Talking Padres, Javi Reyes of Locked On Padres. This has been the Locked On MLB show. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.